Has that area shrunk? Because you say that they're doing some building there, and I take it these housing units are not for low-income or homeless people, right?
As far as I understand, it will be majority 0 to 30% median income, but the other half of that is you have to be owned and operated by the county to be able to move in.
And what's the significance of that?
The significance would be that you've signed up for the CARS program, and you're enrolled in this program and that program, and you end up being owned and operated by those programs.
And what's the disadvantage of being operated by those programs?
What is the disadvantage?
Yes. Is this a good thing for the people who are camped along Soledad Street who have no place to go at the present time?
Unless they sign up for services and they've been in the queue long enough, they probably won't be next.
How many people would you say are in need, if you're looking at Salinas, that need that kind of housing? And so we're talking how many units are going to be available?
90.
That sounds typical. What about the social service providers in the area? You know, Dorothy's Place, all these folks, how are they responding to the needs of the people who are on the street outside?
See the day-to-day operations of Dorothy's as opposed to Victory Mission. I can say more things about Victory Mission if I go over there more often.
Yeah. So anyway, you were saying, I guess, I don't know if you remember what you were saying, but what were you saying?
Well, about Victory Mission, you know, they're trying to do a day program, and they're trying to buy this property next door, which the city of Salinas has been, I think they actually wanted it, or they may have wanted it to go to auction or something, you know, make sure it didn't go to something homeless-related. Because there is that revitalization plan, and the Midpen was definitely, if that opens and they've got retail on the bottom, they're going to push everybody out, and more than half of that is also going to choke out the service providers.
Now, what's happening with the organizing of... There was some organizing about 6 months ago, maybe more. Maybe I'm thinking actually a year ago. Women had formed a group that were kind of standing up against, or at least organizing around, the issues of the rights of people who are in tents or on the sidewalk in their sleeping bags or whatever.
Well, you know, there is a leadership council that does include the hemp ladies or the hemp crew, but, you know, that was almost a momentary thing anyway. Because I don't know if they really identify that way anymore or not, because the Leadership Council, they meet every Friday at noon, right before lunch, and they talk. And vent their grievances, a good therapy session more than anything else. A little bit of announcement from CSUMP when they were going to put the fence up and around in the very first off to block off the place for construction. There, you know, we got a video stuff and they're crazy and it's like, okay. So I jump in and I say, well, so who's willing to commit? You all know you should be, so who's willing to commit to actually doing it? And of course nobody raised their hand. So I think it works pretty good for a therapy session, a little bit informational. Who knows, maybe later. There is another group up at Four Corners in Sherwood Park over next to the Rodeo Grounds that has more of that look, feel, act of what you're talking about for an activist group. Far and away from first it came from the homeless, but pretty close in family. So not nearly as organized, but working at it. That'd be with, like, Rita Acosta and Bill and Albert and a couple others, you know, Patrick and Irene. I guess we did a little bit of a video on that a while back. What we need to do is, like, or at least what I think we need to do, is get up a rules run tent, camp, site, whatever, you know, rule set. And basically what they're already doing, they just put it on paper. I mean, I already got my flagpole rule set. They used to have a set of rules for tents by the garden. In 2013, Rita had a rule set. I don't know where that went, which is why we got to make a new one. But, you know, it's something that's transmutable from encampment to encampment, and in this way we could say, you know what, check this out. We're legitimate encampments, not making a mess. We're just trying to survive. Leave us alone. We ain't doing nothing crazy, you know, and we're not even drinking outside, you know, so that's it. It's just goofy.
Wes,
people are victims. Go ahead.
Wes, what is the... are the numbers of homeless people visible in Salinas growing? Have you noticed that, or are you in a position to be able to judge?
It's certainly growing, especially as the peninsula pushes people this direction. And also, even along Caltrans, you know, people camp along the highway anywhere they can to try to stay out of the way, and then they're in the way of something else. So Caltrans has actually been stealing people's stuff and destroying people's stuff. Since I think I talked to you about this, like, day after Martin Luther King Day, and they've been back, like, three times already. They don't post a notice. They just come and rip and steal. And it's that same supervisor again, because it's the same area. And, you know, that guy just doesn't give a fuck. And probably Caltrans don't either.
Hmm. Any connection with the attorneys up in San Francisco, Ocean Newman and others, who are suing Caltrans up there for stealing,
you know,
property?
So the only thing that I've really been telling them is, or you know, my friends along Caltrans, is like, you got to go to CRLA because CRLA can hook you up, because I don't know the answer to your question.
CRLA is the California Rural Legal Assistance Project, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but if they sign up, then they can jump on that lawsuit and figure out where it's at. And, you know, because I actually got some, I got a PRA about, you know, the incident on that day, or at least that, and I asked for email chain. I didn't get any of that, so I need to bother about that too. So I got pictures from like October, and the thing was in January. So it's 3 months difference. You know, that's not a 72-hour notice. Show me your 72-hour notice, and they already know they're bullshit anyway. So that's how come.
Now the groups you've been kind of working with, trying to create the homeless alliances in Salinas and Monterey, have they been meeting regularly? Are they operating in with a momentum toward anything?
I'm not sure your question.
Well, I'm not sure how to phrase it, because I'm still trying to remember the names of the two groups you mentioned when we began this conversation.
Well, the Hemp Ladies, the Hemp Ladies.
No, not the Hemp Ladies.
A while back.
Not the Hemp Ladies. Not the Hemp Ladies. The other prior organization you mentioned that had to do with, you know, Salinas and Monterey, a mutual homeless alliance, a mutual support of civil rights for folks.
CRLA.
And not CRLA. It had to do with. It was sort of like a. It's not housing now. It's. You have a group that was meeting regularly, concerned with activist homeless issues in.
Well, our homeless union used
that's
to meet
it. Sorry.
A long time ago.
So they're no longer around.
Well, we've ebbed and flowed. I mean, you know, the last real big action was that cooling shelter. And then we had got evicted from that in November, and then we had our 2-year anniversary in January. But yeah, the people, you know, everybody has a life, and you know, trying to draw people in to want to sacrifice more of it is a, you know, difficult proposition.
Hear, hear. Well, I mean, yeah. Is there anything else that you want to report on that I haven't mentioned? Do you think that we should be aware of any?
Well, I guess we have a little bit of a thrust, and I am trying to latch onto the coattails of this Poor People's Campaign. I went and I told the city council about a month ago that I'm not happy with any of them. I just want a whole new deck, a whole new hand. You know, so now I got to put I got to put some effort into that, and I'm trying to develop a slate of some kind of ideal platform to put on, which is progressive, more poor people's campaign, more impactful than anything else, not just bullshit. And meeting people more than halfway has got to be a central theme. And if I can find people with that kind of attitude, I mean, I'm trying to dig and well for love and heart in this community. I don't know if I'm going to find it or if I'm going to come up empty, if this place is just a spoiled brat all in itself. I really don't know, but I want to try. So I guess I'm going to try to do a campaign for running for mayor.
Sure. Any action here in Santa Cruz? There's a big push to get a rent control initiative on the ballot in November. Is there any kind of renter action going on there that might...
No, of course not. Well, no. You know, here we go again with the conservative part of it. You know, Salinas and Monterey, everybody's too timid. They're too timid. So, you know, and Santa Cruz does some kind of weird stuff, so it's kind of hard to follow what they do a lot. You know, but no, they're on the right track. I'd say the other piece of it is cost and charge, so it doesn't matter how much you try to hamper and put limits, it still comes back to how people feel about it, you know, and they do what they want to do. It's going to benefit their own interests, and what we need to do is change their interests. So convincing people, I want to hold everybody accountable, you know? I mean, the government is one piece of it, but it's also the community, it's the business, it's the Chamber of Commerce, it's these folks that got a shit ton of money, it's just, I don't give a fuck. You can die. I don't even care. Somebody's going to pay me. It's goofy because it works. And that's the shit that really needs to get exposed.
Any sense of what percentage of Salinas is renters?
No, I don't have a demographic for that.
Yeah, because they might be, to some extent, you know, a partner in this, although we don't find them terribly partner. I don't find them terribly partners over here in Santa Cruz, except sort of occasionally from a letter in the Sentinel. Even there, the issues are really demarcated, isolated from each other. You know, it's all sort of very specialized and focused. And in a way, that's good. In another way, it's not good. Well, I'm going to, unless you've got more you want to say, I'm going to leave it there. We've been going on for a while. You've been very patient with me for as I try to remember names of groups.
And sometimes I like to beat around the bush, too, so.
Yeah, well, I think I
can. All right, boss. Well, yeah. Stay strong. Keep on going and doing what you're doing because you're definitely making a difference.
I don't know about that, but I know that if people want to reach you, they can go to, maybe I don't know, you can tell us.
Monterey County Homeless Advocates is our Facebook page. We're the Monterey County Salinas Homeless Union. And, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Videos at where?
YouTube, John Doe 13K, so three words, YouTube, John, J-O-H-N, and the third word, Doe 13K, D-O-E, 13K.
And be sure you put it in that order, or you might get some other John Doe. That's what I've been finding.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's not you. That's I think it's you put it, made it very clear. It's YouTube, next word, John, and then the next word, Doe 13K, right?
Yes.
Okay. And we're talking with Wes White. Wes, go have a cup of tea, and I will heat up my coffee.
Okay. All right. Enjoy the day.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And now we're going to jump back to a week ago at the Red Church, the Calvary Episcopal meal in the evening, where I usually buttonhole people in the meal line and ask for the latest. Actually, this one begins, this particular audio begins with me making an announcement to the group, which I also do on occasion, usually advising people of upcoming events and meetings.
There is a supposedly supposed to be a rent freeze in operation.
Hey, listen up, folks.
There's supposed to be a rent freeze and a just eviction protection ordinance that they passed as an emergency a month ago. Well, the city is not enforcing it. They are saying in order for people to enforce it, they're going to have to go to court. Well, there's a protest happening tomorrow against the city's failure to enforce the law. They don't mind enforcing the camping ban. They don't mind enforcing get out of the parks. They don't mind enforcing open container. They don't mind enforcing all that stuff. But
they are not going to enforce rent control when even when passed by a council unanimously. Anyway, there is a meeting tomorrow in front of City Hall at 6:30. If you're interested in joining that meeting, that's at 6:30 tomorrow. Does anybody have a question? I saw somebody's hand come up. Any questions? Yes, go ahead.
Did you call it what I thought you called it?
Say again.
City Council.
City Council.
I thought you said it's City Council.
Shitty Council. Correct. That's what it is. Yes. You'll be next. What? Say it again. Sorry, man. In Felton, you say? What about it? I don't quite catch it, man. Is there a tent city in Felton? That would be good. It's in the county, and maybe there are a lot of tents, as you know, happening all over town, but they also tend to get swept away, or they're technically illegal. Sorry? Well, if you want to organize it, let me know. I mean, we can pass on the word. Any other questions, comments people have? Yes. Say that again. I'm sorry. February 23rd, I believe, was the council meeting. It's a rent freeze until September. At that point, there may be a ballot measure that may pass in November. But until September, there's supposedly a rent freeze, yes. If the city council gets off its ass and does something about it. How many people have gotten tickets in the last week? Raise your hands. One, two, three, for anything. Or looks like about five people. And how many people have been harassed for sleeping in the last week? Raise your hand. Five, six, seven, eight, nine. Looks like about 10 people.
10? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
interesting.
The reason I'm asking is that supposedly the police chief has said he's continuing his policy of not issuing tickets for night for people who are sleeping. And apparently that may not be true. And so that's why I'm asking what's really going on.
Somebody's not honoring him. Someone's not listening to him.
Or his police officers may not be listening to him. I don't know. Yeah, Parks and Rec is also apparently involved in this. And if anybody's gotten a ticket, talk to me, not because I can help a lot, but I'll put it out on free radio. That's what I do. I do a radio show twice a week. So, yes. Thank you. All right. Thanks. And I'll leave my card over here if anybody wants it, in case you have any reports.
We're talking with
Sharon.
Sharon, you say there's a legend going around?
Yes, that they are lying about not handing out the sleeping band tickets. They are still being handed out. Out because I know five people that have got them this week.
And you have any indication of where they're coming from, which department, Parks and Rec, police?
I'm not sure.
And is there an area in which that's happening?
Oh, yeah. Harvey West Park, over by the shelter. Oh, a bunch of them.
What about in vehicles? How are people in vehicles?
They're getting green tagged and being threatened to be towed.
How many reports of this have you received?
From being at the lot, probably about 30.
And how are people at the loft being treated?
Wait, I don't even care to mention about that one.
So we'll catch a report on that once you've been expelled from the loft, perhaps?
No, I've not been expelled, but I think it's a flippin' effing joke that if you're not on Social Security, you are not getting into the loft at the Coral Street.
It's a pathway to housing.
No, it is not. It's a joke. It's a nightmare.
And tell me about, has anybody actually gotten into housing that was in the loft?
No.
How long have you been there?
I worked there from 2002 until 2008. And I know a bunch of people that are still in the loft that have not been housed.
Now, has anybody in the last few months gotten into housing?
No.
What happens with folks? What's the average stay in the Pauley loft?
I've known people that have been in there 30 days. I've known people that have been in there for years.
And, again, the capacity of the loft is?
The bottom part of the loft is that supposedly people, the medical facility.
Do you have any something like? Sorry, kind of more.
it's really important to note that Sharon, who gives these rather authoritative-sounding answers, she may well be correct, but she isn't a resident there, apparently, and hasn't been a worker there in 10 years. So she's operating through second-hand information, and I probably would have spent less time inquiring had that been made clear earlier in the conversation, because it's not too clear that this is accurate information. It may be, but it's just not very clear. To me, anyway.
And I say Sharon's also giving out socks at the same time she's telling us what's happening.
Those are cotton.
I'm talking about blue socks.
Oh, the little tiny ones?
Not the tiny ones, but something that's like half size.
I don't. Not tonight.
I'll try this right now and see if that works. Thank you.
Yep.
So, how's the food at the Pauli Loft?
They're not feeding them anymore.
What do people do to eat?
The only people that get fed at the shelter is Paige Smith and the family shelter.
So River Street shelter people, they eat over there at the River Street?
Yes.
And is there some reason that people at the Pauli Loft don't get fed now? Is that budget or what?
I don't know.
And again, we're talking about everything connected with 115 Coral Street. Those who are in the program over at the River Street Campground, which is a few blocks away, do get one meal a day. And those who are in the winter shelter, I believe, yeah, they get one or two meals a day. And again, this serves about, let's say 170 people if you add, maybe up to 200 people if you add the fact also the Association of Faith Communities 20-person program. The winter shelter will be ending in about 2 weeks, in mid-April, as I understand it, and at which point the only thing left will be, there'll be actually no drop-in shelter. The River Street Campground is not a drop-in program. You have to get on a waiting list, and it's, though in theory, there's some room in the tents in there, and they, right next to each other, tent by tent, behind barbed wire program. And I say that, but I got to say, I haven't heard a lot of complaints from people who actually live there that they regard that as degrading or humiliating or repressive in any way. I find it kind of disgusting, but I don't live there. So, and, you know, the people who do live there have certainly got it a lot better than folks outside who are worrying about whether they're going to be busted by police, although you're not allowed to come and go by foot, as I've mentioned before, from the River Street Campground. Anyway, back to the Red Church and some more discussion, perhaps by Sharon, perhaps by others.
I don't know. All I know is since they lost their state funding and only got federal funding, the whole Coral Street, it's a joke. It's
now,
a joke.
How long have you lived there this time?
I used to work there.
And now, how long have you lived there?
Here in Santa Cruz?
No, are you actually in the Pauli Loft?
No, I have friends that are in there, and I was in there when I first came out here.
So the last time you were there was 2008 or so?
Yes, 2008. I know you want a pair of these, AJ. Hawk, I know you want a pair of black or white.
Anything you want to add, Sharon, before we go?
Half of the crap that they're doing to us is against our constitutional rights, and if they could learn how to read our Constitution. If they could learn how to read the constitutional rights, maybe then some of our shit would get passed for Santa Cruz County.
Are you outside or inside right now?
I'm still living in my car.
And how is that treating you?
But I'm living at Mom's because they've threatened to tow my car. They've threatened to kill my dogs.
Thank you.
And my dogs are my medical companions.
You're on private property? Or?
Yes, we are.
And so they've left you alone because of that?
Yes. But if you're not on private property, they're still harassing you.
Any reports of people on public property who are in any kind of tent combinations of, you know, under tents and so forth?
I know quite a few. And I'm not saying where they are, but I know quite a few because it's ridiculous. You try to sleep. Your body requires, I don't care who you are, your body requires 8 hours of sleep to function and be normal and not have mental health issues. And then they're curious why they're handing out all of the mental health drugs, all of the meds. Socks, sweetie? Okay. Then they're curious why we have all of these people in mental health programs. This is why their brain is not getting enough oxygen to it when they're not sleeping.
You're another man, too.
You say you're the man. Well, what is it? No socks. Thank you so much, love. Oh, my goodness. I feel loved. Oh, I love you.
Everybody's been hollering since their feet have been cold and wet. Socks. So I've been making sure that we have them.
And we've been talking.
Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
This is Thomas Mullen. I just wanted to comment on the fact that it's ridiculous. We got all these buildings and all these businesses, but there's only a couple places for homeless people to go after hours. And I was out here on the streets last night, and it was really cold. And I was like, man, I just wish there was, like, more, you know, I wish there was just, like, a place where people could come and just hang out indoors. There's got to be somewhere indoors for people to hang out. It's ridiculous. Like, it's too cold. Homeless people matter. It's ridiculous, you know. Got to freaking...
How long have you been in town, Tom?
28 years.
And how long have you been outside?
Off and on my whole life. I know what it's like. I mean, freaking, it's cold out here, bro. Like,
has it changed in the last 28 years in Santa Cruz?
If anything, it's gotten... I think the treatment of homeless people has gotten worse. If you ask me, it's not getting better. That means something.
You're a man with dark skin. Has that impacted how people have treated you in Santa Cruz?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What have you noticed recently?
I think equally homeless people get treated bad, no matter the color of your skin. But I just noticed it, like, I don't know, there's just agendas being pushed and... it's just like, you know, there are more important things in life than money. That, you know, they're, you know, human beings matter more, you know, so that's all I have to say about it.
We've been talking with
Thomas Mullen.
Thanks, Thomas.
You're from
Julie Shaw.
You say, I know you've been sending me a lot of stuff, and I've been mentioning it in kind of mail alongs that I do on email, but what's going on in Santa Cruz that you know or elsewhere that you think is worth mentioning?
I shared your Bathrobes Pierre radio show. I shared a link to that one, but not specifically to the recent ones. But I did send your YouTube video on Santa Cruz Full-Timers on Facebook, which Facebook is having its own issues right now that I need to ask about. But Denver, Colorado, apparently there's going to be a court case, a class action lawsuit regarding sweeps and personal possessions that were thrown away, and that's going to be going to court. And they got the green light to start proceedings on that case. So that might be able to set the precedence on other issues that are going along the West Coast. So that's a case to watch. And then we know what happened was there was a couple hundred protesters in Orange County because they're mad about the camps going out there. I guess there may be city council run camps that are going to go by a park out in Orange County somewhere. I guess apparently three cities are suing the county right now because they don't want...
Not in our neighborhood.
I can't even say it because it's so unbelievable. But I guess Democrat Weiner, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he might have a bill that's going to be coming out. And it's got people in arms all the way from Marin to San Diego, I guess, that are upset about having high-density housing along transportation, big transportation areas. So that's going to be... something to watch. That bill is going to be something to watch. And that's about, I mean, locally here, I can't think of anything other than the fact that I've been hearing stories that people have lost their vans. They are getting citations for camping. Apparently, I saw a couple of people who are eating here right now were in mugshots a couple days ago for camping. And so apparently there was some sweeps. So, yeah, they're still getting... ticketed and maybe even incarcerated for that. But fortunately, they were here to join us tonight.
They're rounding up the criminals, in other words.
They're rounding. Like, there's a lot of rounds up going on everywhere, isn't there? It's a whole West Coast thing. It's not just Santa Cruz, but it seems like they're going to be...
to deal with the criminal element.
There's going to be quite some interesting lawsuits to follow. And I think the only way this issue is going to be resolved peacefully is through the court systems. Hopefully, people don't get...
You trust the courts, do you?
I trust that better than vigilantes wanting to take matters into their own hands, like the neighborhood watch captain said she wanted, or she was advising people to, on Nextdoor.com.
Now, how many homeless that you know actually own a firearm? Legally.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I was wondering about that. I don't know of any. I don't know what
the NRA has not yet done any recruiting among the homeless.
Concealed carries and stuff like that. I don't know how that works. I'm clueless.
You have a right to have a weapon in your vehicle.
I don't know. But I do know people who do know. Do you want me to find out?
Please.
You want me to find out if it's legal for unhoused individuals to have guns? I don't see why not, as long as they have a concealed carry permit. But I have to find out the specifics. They won't even let me talk about guns, so I don't know.
Who's they?
Anybody. Nobody wants to talk about guns.
Hey, baby, talk about guns over here.
I don't know anything about it, so nobody wants to talk to me about it.
You're a gun dummy, baby.
I'm not allowed to be educated on guns.
Stay ignorant. That's my advice.
I'm just a girl, but I'm just a girl.
You have the wrong organs. It's true. If you could get some kind of an organ transplant, it might be helpful.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. I try to stay away from any unneeded
surgery.
Yeah, but did you hear what happened with the bicycle? List, how she endowed and hit her head on Highway 1 and they took her to the hospital. The little girl is sitting right over there.
She went to the hospital.
Listen to this. They discharged her and she had to walk with her broken bicycle all the way back to camp and she had a head injury. Did you know about that?
She didn't mention that.
Well, you might want to know about that. She had blood
maybe
all
the head
over
injury.
Her. And she was walking with her bicycle, discharged from the hospital with a broken bicycle. And that's many miles. That's many miles from the hospital to where she was. I don't know if that was the right thing to do.
Sounds like the wrong thing. But how do you know this? You didn't see the bloody head.
They told me.
They being...
Her partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still spoke with him, but he didn't mention that to me. Maybe
okay,
I should...
You might want to go and clarify that, because I think that's something we might want to talk about.
Oh, for sure. I think... but I think we may have lost that couple. I think they
she's
left.
She's over there with their little hat. See her?
There
over
she
there?
Is. I'll go...
Yeah,
maybe I'll see...
quite the trooper. Yeah, I think she should be on the front page of the Sentinel for that story.
I'll go over there and check it out.
Yeah, I respect that couple so much. I respect you so much, too.
I would hope
so. Thank you so much.
Above all elders,
everything that you do. So if you give me specific links, I'd be more than happy to share it. But I shared your YouTube video that talks about Bathrobes Pierre's free radio.
It's kind of old, but maybe it still has some punch.
Well, let's get an update.
All right. And we've been talking...
As if you're not busy enough. Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers. And Safe Parking Program. Apparently, Martin Bernal, city manager, mentioned that he's going to move ahead with Safe Parking Programs in Santa Cruz. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
It was in the Sentinel. Yeah, we have it in writing. We have to hold him to it, huh? A city council meeting tomorrow?
There is a city council meeting tomorrow, yes.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything about your speech impediment.
Certainly not. I have that problem. Thank you, Julie. Music here. And you get the idea. Hey, you.
And I then went to discuss this case of a person allegedly released from the hospital with a broken bicycle and an injured head. And we got a somewhat different story.
Can I get a quick interview?
Hey.
So somebody tells me that you were in an accident and the hospital released you bleeding with a broken bike.
Well, the bike itself wasn't so much broken as the rack on the back was broken. But I had, my front tire was flat. But, a policeman helped me jerry-rig my bags so I could get it on the back of the bike and at least walk it. And he helped me get my wheels in place somewhat to where, you know, it wouldn't be too hard to, you know, because the chain was off, everything was sort of, you know.
Were you bleeding?
I wasn't bleeding after I got out of the hospital.
So that was an exaggeration by some of your compatriots?
I was bleeding when I initially got into the accident, but once I got the stitches, I only leaked a little bit.
What was the accident itself? What actually happened?
The accident. Well, what happened?
Mind if I sit down here for a moment?
I was riding on the shoulder where you're supposed to go to the south end, but the reason why I went on the opposite side of the highway than I was supposed to is so I could see what's coming, and also it would give me more light sometimes. And there happened to be a bottle. I didn't look down on the ground. It wasn't until after my accident. And then I looked out and go, oh, that's what happened. It was a bottle right there. And the end was broken on, you know, one end of the bottle was broken. So I tumbled over that because I didn't look down. And
you did a tumble, eh?
Yeah.
And so who took you to the hospital?
The paramedics took me to the hospital, and apparently either them or someone else got a hold of my bike and my bags, and they ended up right on the outside of the hospital, right outside, not too far from the doors that I came out from, kind of the backside of the emergency room, because that was the end I went in, you know, the paramedics brought me in.
How would you describe your treatment at the hospital?
It wasn't fantastic, but it was all right.
How long were you there?
I don't know. I was there for probably a couple of hours or so. I was there for a little bit until they patched me up. They cleaned me up a bit, and I took a quickie shower there. And
they actually let you take a shower?
Well, they didn't say anything to me. They did tap on the door a little bit because first I had to use the bathroom. Then I took a quick shower. And then I got dressed real quick. I got going. And
you're outside again.
And I was outside, and I got a hold of my bike. A cop helped me kind of straighten a couple of things out on it so I could actually walk it. Because, of course, I had a flat tire, completely flat.
So are you sleeping outside now?
I still sleep outside on the Upper West Side a little bit before you get to...
You don't have to tell me unless you want everyone to know. This goes out on the radio, you know.
Yeah, and there was one time when the cop said that we should get up earlier. But other than that, they didn't really...
Are you in a vehicle or are you outside?
Outside.
How many people are in your group?
Just David and I and our three Boston Terriers. So it's just us.
And we've been talking with?
Dina.
Thank you, Dina. Anything else?
Everything's all right. Thank you.
Thank you, babe.
Anyway, this is what we would do. We made a list of sort of things we thought would be fantastic to do with it, and that's what this song is.
Right. It's called, appropriately, Penis Envy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
If I had a penis, I'd wear it outside in cafes and carlots with pomp and with pride. If I had a penis, I'd pamper it proper. I'd stay in the tub and use me as the stomper. If I had a penis, I'd take it to parties, stretch it and stroke it and shove it at Smarties. I'd take it to pet shows and teach it to stay. I'd stuff it in turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. I'd rival my bodies in sports cars and stick shifts. I'd shower my spire with girlies and gifts. I'd peek around corners, I'd aim at my toilet, I'd poke it at borders, I'd soap it and oil it. If I had a penis, I'd run to my mother, comb up the hair and compare it to brother. I'd lance her, I'd knight her, my hands would indulge. Pants would seem tighter and buckle and bulge. A penis to plunder, a penis to push, cause one in the hat is worth one in the bush. A penis to love me, a penis to share. To pick up and play with when nobody's there. I'd sit like a guy, I'd straddle the chair, I'd treated with care. I dip it in chocolate, I stick it in sockets, I stroll to the movies with hands deep in pockets. I stick it in vacuums on vacant verandas, guest goes in bubbles and poodles and pandas and puzzles and drapes and duckers and bitches, pulls and bottles and bottles and bitches. Zucchinis and zebras, tomatoes, tomatoes and pandas, and pumpkins and cultures and crackers and melons and marshmallows. Gloves and gorillas, Slurpees and slippers, chinips and chinchillas, a penis to plunder, a penis to push, there's one in the hat, is with one in the bush, a penis to love me, a penis to share, to pick up and play with when nobody's there. If I had a penis, I'd climb every mountain. I'd force it on females. I'd pee like a fountain. If I had a penis, I'd still be a girl. But I make much more money and conquer the world.
Enjoy your evening.
So once again, I'm talking to Meriwether Mike, who is trying to run away from the mic, but he's not going to succeed. Mike is going to get the mic, whether or not.
I'm going to get mic'd.
Now, Mike, okay. You were saying you're hoping that more folks, musicians particularly, perhaps even the musician known as Vision Song Valerie, get to the Calvary Red Church on Mondays, right?
Yes, the music just needed a breath of fresh air, and I think we've had that for the last 6 weeks with Valerie Christie, a.k.a. Opal Sun, and lately her accomplice, Joyful Heart, a.k.a. Baba. So, you know, it's just time, and I think Santa Cruz has the facilities and the fellowship to make that happen and keep our spirits up during all these transitions with camps and ordinances and blah, blah, blah.
And we've been listening to the thoughts of
Meriwether Mike with Bathrobes Pierre, a.k.a. Robert Snorless.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Michael.
Pretty much wraps it up for the contemporary, more recent event section of this program and interviews and so forth. Coming up next is a flashback to 2006, Thursday, February 2nd. You're going to hear me commenting on the 10-minute loitering law, what I also called the parking lot panic law, which became a 15-minute law, which is now in force and has been used somewhat freely by the Parks and Rec Department in the last month. That's what I found looking over the citations. Can't be in a public parking lot, one run by the city, for more than 15 minutes, and then only if you're either parking or retrieving your vehicle. You can also walk through the lot, but you're not allowed to pause, socialize, sit in your vehicle, etc. Then there's a 45-minute interview with activist Rick.